welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your hosts, Ryan Dangle.
You picked a tie? What are we, true, in Europe?
Soccer? Ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right?
Yeah, no, dude, why? Why are we doing... No, absolutely not. All right, well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of was today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagrou.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flo's over there.
I'm not Captain
Flo. So you're not excited, Jack. You're not excited about having Sarah Spain.
Yeah,
on your
wow.
Show,
maybe no, I'm the talent. Is that what we found out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, "Hey, man, like, do you take out of these situations? Like, what is it like to know that like you're this beloved that like these videos are going viral?" And he was just like, "I don't do it for that attention." And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, "Okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again."
And Logan Bradley.
Bears rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shea McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
All right, folks, welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Now, I am your host, Ryan Dangle. Folks, we got a brand new intro for all of you that are tuning in for the first time. We're excited about it. For all of you that have been hanging out with us for a while, it is brand spanking new, hot off the presses. I'm going to bring in everybody but Brendan for a second so we could talk about Brendan. Let's bring in Jack Wright to the stage. If you want to follow Jack on Twitter, it's at BearDownJack. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Ryan Dengel. That's D-E-N-G-E-L. Let's bring in Cam Ellis. If you want to get Cam on Twitter, it's at Kingsley Ellis. Can we all just talk about how awesome Brendan is before he gets a chance to be like, "Nah, I'm not awesome"? Can we just do that?
He's the podcast, yeah, he's like, I would say he's like an A-lister in terms of Chicago and Chicago media, because Waddle and Sylvie are just sitting around butchering his name, which, yeah. I mean, that hasn't happened to me. I don't know. Has that happened to you guys at all? Like, not recently.
Nobody's saying
it's pretty easy to pronounce Cam. I've lucked out in that way.
So just before we bring him on here, just he worked really hard to get that done, that new intro, and I just think it's so much fun. So a huge thank you to Brendan Chagrou. Also a huge thank you to Beats by Blackie Chan. He's our guy, does our intro music, our outro music, Brendan's breakdown. He does all that sort of stuff for us. He is a really talented artist, and I'll just say this: every time he sends me a new beat, I'm like, "Oh my God, it's so much better than the last one." And it's just like, he just keeps getting better and better. Beats by Blackie Chan, you got to check him out. So let's bring to the stage the assistant editor of Bears Wire, Brendan Chagrou. If you want to find him on Twitter, it's at Brendan Chagrou. That's S-U-G-R-U-E. Chagrou.
Brendan. Yeah. I had to include that. That happened a few weeks ago. And it was so freaking funny. And Waddle and Sylvie, we've had all of them on from Waddle and Sylvie. We're going to have some more ESPN guys on soon in this show. But yeah, when that happened, I'm like, well, I have to clip that. And I just thought there was some really fun sound bites from the last few years. The first one, when I was thinking about making the intro, because we wanted to update it with everybody, the first one that came into my head was Captain Flus. I had to make sure that we got that from Sarah Spain, because it was the funniest thing. And Jack is forever known as Captain Flus. And also, you shouted out Blackie Chan. I want to shout out Frank Pador, who is the voiceover. He's the guy who provides the sultry, sweet voiceover tones.
He's got a great voice.
He's got a fantastic voice. He's one of my closest friends, oldest friends that we've had going way back to high school. if anybody needs like a voiceover guy, contact Frank, because he is the best, and he's getting his name out there both locally in Indiana and nationally. So appreciate him helping us out. But I'm really glad you guys liked it. It was fun.
All right, so boys, let's do this. Just give me a 30-second recap. What's been going on in life, non-Bears related, because we got a lot of Bears talk to have and all that sort of stuff. So let's go. Jack, Brennan, Cam, how's life? 30 seconds, go.
Going great. I'm a soccer dad. I think I traveled about 8 hours last week to various soccer games for my daughter, Peyton. And, you know, soccer is not a first choice for me, but Peyton is my favorite daughter, and I love her dearly. So there I am in the rain watching soccer. So go Spartans, go PK.
Brendan,
oh, me? Oh, Brendan. Man, I thought it was Cam. My bad. Life's been good. A lot of like football prep, but we just did our spring cleaning this weekend in our town. It is legitimately spring cleaning where the garbage pickers will take anything and everything that you leave out on the yard. And it's fantastic. And you just see a bunch of scrappers coming around looking for stuff. Like, we put out a ton of things on Friday night, went out to Cooper's Hawk for a double date, listening to Taylor Swift, drove back, and half of it was already gone. So it was beautiful. Wow. But doing that, and then went to Wrigley today. It was a nice day at the ballpark. If only Kyle Hendricks could remember that he was a World Series pitcher and the offense could get going. But you know what? It's better than the Sox.
I'm so glad I'm not a baseball fan, because I would be in a
bad
position.
What are you doing all summer?
Yeah.
Not watching bad baseball? I don't know. Cam, what about you?
Life's good. Busy. It's like the last real thing on the NFL calendar for 2 months. Like, there's an actual break in life after the draft, and I just hate the draft so much. So I am ready for it to be over. But otherwise it's been good. Yeah, it's the trees are starting to get green here, the sun's coming out, so I can't complain too much.
All right, so before we get to our phenomenal guest, which Brendan just really stoked about this one, so thank you for bringing on phenomenal guest. We've had some awesome guests with it. We've got some people that we need to thank. First guy who's been with us since the beginning, it's Jeff Cadwallader. He has been working so hard since last year to expand his real estate services, which now include commercial properties. Folks, he has been amazing at it. Like, he is amazing at everything that he does. I mean, seriously, he's a phenomenal rock climber. He's a really good drummer. He's just a phenomenal human being. Jeff Cadwallader. So if you are a business owner, a homeowner, or an investor, and you're looking to buy, sell, or lease commercial or residential properties, Jeff is your guy, because he's our guy. Give him a call. Give him a text. Jeff Cadwallader with SVN Landmark today at 630-254-4734 or visit GenevaJeff.com. If you talk to Jeff Cadwallader, you got to let him know that the guys at the Bear Down Chicago podcast say hello.
Sheridan's Barbershop, located in historic downtown Wheaton, Illinois, has been serving the community for 68 years with 6 barbers. They are open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. They've got appointments available to book online or by phone. You can go to Sheridan'sBarbershop.com or you can call 630-668-0137 and book yours today. As you know, they have also opened a shop in downtown Naperville. It's called Hensel's. Hensel's Barbershop has been open since 1966. They just took it over, revamped the place. It looks amazing. There's 6 barbers there. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. You can walk in or you can make an appointment at Hensel'sBarbershop.com. Remember, at both spots, Hensel's and Sheridan's, it's where traditional meets modern.
All right, just really quick, because here's the man with the voice. And just, Frank, you're like a really good-looking dude, and you have a good voice. That's not fair. That's not fair at all, dude. So cheers to Frank.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Brendan. Yeah.
No. He's, like I said, he deserves all the love. But we got to get to our special guest. He is the executive producer of the Cap and J Hood morning show on ESPN 1000. He goes to battle with Jonathan Hood, David Kaplan, every single weekday. He's also a part-time host. He's also an NFL expert. This is why I'm very excited to bring on Shay Norling from ESPN 1000. Shay, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, boys? I like the term expert there. That was very kind of you. I just kind of think of myself as like a jackass who watches a lot of football, but expert. I'm all for it.
Well, you know, once you, I think we all start out as jackasses watching a lot of football, and then you just absorb enough of it, you become an expert. But honestly, around the NFL segment, one of my favorites that you guys do. Always just love hearing the different things that you got going on. So we appreciate you joining us. But the first thing I got to ask you, because I know just hearing you talk on ESPN 1000 all the time, you and your wife are big Swifties. I need your grade. I need your thoughts of the new album, my friend.
I didn't expect this to come out of the gate. If I say anything less than an A, my wife will get mad. I'm going to go A-. It's just too many songs. 31 songs is like outrageous. This thing's 2.5 hours almost. Like, who has time to sit down and listen to 31 songs cover to cover and then develop takes on the quality of all 31 songs? If you drop 31 songs, they can't all be bangers. They're not all going to be A+. But I think that was a part of it. Like, I think she just kind of had 31 tracks that she had to get out to the world, and she did it. So good for her.
Where does she find the time, though? Like, no, I'm not the biggest Swiftie. My wife is, but I decided to listen. Of course, she fell asleep when it dropped. So I'm just like, all right, I'll do this by myself. And then I see the other like second album drop. I'm like, this is too much, man. I can't do this.
I have no idea where she gets the time. It's like world tour and putting out 31 songs is nuts. But yeah, I liked it. It's not probably not my favorite thing she's done, but I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm sure everybody else here is just like, why are we doing this? Why are we talking
about this? I love that Jack Ryan and I was like sitting here being like,
I didn't just get into this myself. It was like my wife listens to Taylor Swift all the time, and then she made me go to the concert with her when she was in Chicago last summer. And it was like going to the concert and seeing it happen live was what sold me. Like, oh, she is really good. And then you just start listening to more and more. So that's it.
That's Kelsey's girlfriend.
That's fair.
We're talking about Kelsey's girlfriend, right?
Yeah, Travis Kelsey's girlfriend.
Okay, good. All right, now I'm with you.
No, did the NFL show her on any games? I wasn't sure.
Yeah, once. Yeah. It all started with the Bears, man. All started with that terrible game.
Our ratings
one
just
guy
dropped.
On Earth who doesn't know who Taylor Swift is.
Who? I know it, but I do. I've got kids, but I just.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right, so from one world phenomenon to another, we go to the NFL draft because we're finally here. I'm so happy. I think Cam is probably the happiest of any of us.
So happy. Thrilled.
So, Shay, I want to ask you, like with all the draft pre stuff, the phenomenon, all that, do you like it, or has it just kind of gotten way too big and you're like, all right, this is there's too much time to scout people now. Like we need to just get this over with.
What are you going to do? Get mad about it? Like, it's nothing anybody can change, but it's the NFL. Everything's gone overboard. Like last week, I remember talking about Bill Barnwell. I had a mock draft. I think on Friday morning it released. And the bit was that every pick is a trade. And I'm like, what is the point of this? Like, it was like the Bears are trading the first pick for Trevor Lawrence. And I'm like, it's never going to happen. Like, I get that you have to put this out and you have to come up with something, but even in the blurb, he's like, nobody will ever, neither team will ever even look at this. Nobody's trading this. The Jags would never trade Trevor Lawrence. The Bears are never trading Caleb Williams. And then it's like, oh, but then they do. What is the point of putting that content out? Like, it's just this idea that we have so much time to fill and so many people doing NFL content that have to put something out. Some of it's going to end up being pretty useless. And so, like, I'm at a point where I'm kind of exhausted, and I'm glad that Thursday is going to be here. But I'm also kind of thankful that the Bears traded Fields when they did. Because imagine if for the last month and a half, we were still all doing Justin Fields, Caleb Williams talk. Like,
all done.
Was really bad. So the fact that that happened, it's at least allowed us to pivot to the ninth pick, which still has a lot of mystery, but kind of rare that it's like this mysterious. I don't have any idea really where they're going to go. But no, I'm not like over it. I am ready for it to be here. I think those are two different things.
Mm-hmm. Shay, I mean, you really set this question up. I mean, I'm thinking about, I can't remember a time when everyone knew for sure. I mean, dare I say Joe Burrow, maybe even Carson Palmer, right? But like everybody knows what the first pick is. So let's talk nine, because that's far more interesting. And I'm not going to ask you to predict what's going to happen, but more, what is best case, worst case scenario for the Bears at nine?
I mean, worst case would be like drafting a kicker. So throwing away the...
or an Iowa punter. Iowa punter.
Yeah, right. Throwing out the things that like will not happen. I think it might have been Daniel Jeremiah that put it out that the Bears could trade up to sixth and vulture Tennessee and draft Joe Alt. And I was like, I think I'd be like actually angry if they traded up for Joe Alt. But that's, I know some people think left tackle's a huge hole. I don't. I like Braxton Jones. I don't think he's like an all pro, but I also don't think he's a turnstile. And I think a lot of the conversation has become like Braxton Jones stinks and you need a left tackle. And like, he's not bad. Best case scenario for me is either Dallas Turner or Jared Verse. I'm not one of these wide receiver guys where I just feel like, then I know people get a little scared because Poles, late round receivers, you think about Velus Jones and Tyler Scott, it's been a struggle, but you can find receivers in those rounds. Like Amon-Ra St. Brown was a later round pick. Tyreek Hill, I keep saying, was a fifth round pick. Now, that was for reasons, but it's not like he's alone. And you just kind of like Puka Nacua, perfect example. I think he won Rookie of the Year, fifth round pick. And you look around the league and like Stephon Diggs just got traded. Keenan Allen just got traded. Wasn't so long ago, Davante Adams got traded. Like guys move. And I just feel like when you spend the number nine pick in the draft on a position where you have DJ Moore, you already traded draft capital to get your wide receiver two and Keenan Allen, it's like, why are we going to use another piece, like the premium piece of our draft capital and pick nine on another wide receiver when you have one player that I care about on the defensive line, and it's Montez Sweat. The rest of that line, Jervon Dexter, we hope, but like I want a guy on the end of that line opposite Sweat. And if you go wide receiver, you have maybe the best receiver room in the NFL, but that line is empty, man.
And it seems like it's a pretty deep crop of wide receivers too. So I think your point is a good one, that if they chose to wait, that three spot is a big hole right now, and they're going to need to fill it with someone, obviously. And so you might have to take a risk if you wait a little bit longer. So that, I mean, perhaps that would be a concern of theirs. I don't know.
But isn't that the kind of like the calculus around it is like Keenan Allen's only going to be here for a year. So let's take our receiver now and then we'll have him for the future. And I just kind of feel like if you're drafting for the future, wouldn't you rather go with the defensive lineman you can put opposite Montez Sweat? And then next season you don't have to worry about filling that hole. And look, man, CeeDee Lamb might be on the move next year. Like Justin Jefferson might be on the move. I doubt the Vikings would send him to Chicago. But all these names in a season that might be moving elsewhere, then you can fill that spot if Keenan Allen's a one-year thing. I just feel like there's other ways to address it. Whereas edge rusher right now, you're in that perfect window. You just extended Montez Sweat. You've got him here for that amount of time. You could get Verse or Turner or Latu or whoever. And in 5 years, when Sweat's up, you just move the money over to the other guy and do it again. It feels like a really perfect kind of cycle that you can build.
Boys, Shay, you just made me think of something, and you kind of said something too, that if it's okay, I want to throw this out here to everybody. What would legitimately make you angry at nine? So obviously we're having fun, but not as fun to say as they're going to pick up the Iowa punter, right? They're not going to pick up a kicker, but like, that's very Bearsy, right? The one that was thrown out to me is, you know, the conversation about another like defensive back or something along those lines. Like, I understand that there's a hole at safety, like truly I do.
Number nine.
But oh my God. Like if the Bears pick a corner or a safety at nine, I would be actually upset. Where Shay, I think you've actually convinced me otherwise. Like I could see pass rusher, defensive tackle, something along those lines to really bolster that defensive line. So why don't we start with Shay? Let's go Cam, Brendan, Jack. What would make you guys angry if they picked at nine?
I mean, I think it's wide receiver or defensive line, whether it's the edge or the tackle or offensive tackle. Like I if if they do anything else, I would not only be angry, I'd be like floored. I'd be in stunned silence looking at the television if it's not one of those positions. Of those, the only one I think leaves a sour taste for me is offensive tackle, just because, again, I like Braxton Jones. I know a lot of people think he's some bum. I think he's pretty good, and I wouldn't invest a top 10 pick in a tackle when you have a guy like that.
The only thing that I would not be like mad about is if they traded down, and that's not for any like real football reason, but it's just like boring to me specifically. like I just,
that's fair.
I just, from
thank
an
you,
entertainment perspective, yeah, like from an entertainment perspective, I don't care about trading down. Like I know it's smart, but whatever. Like positionally, like, yeah, like someone in the secondary, that would be weird. But I mean, like I it's hard to get mad about that because you're going to get a good player regardless of what it is. So like it'd be one thing if I was like, oh shit, like they got a quarterback in the fourth round, like that's a weird thing to do, but like nine, you're going to get a good guy. So like, yeah, if they got another corner, that'd be weird, but he'd be a really good corner like immediately. So a player, I don't really have one, but yeah, if they trade down and just make it boring or make my night longer, then that's what I would be mad about.
Make my night longer. Yeah, I mean, I've thought that way too, Cam. Like, the fan in me is like, yes, get more picks. But the writer in me is like, you know, I'm okay with four. That's not that bad. Because the last 2 years have been kind of hellish, man. So at nine, I think there's just two things that would make me angry, because I can rationalize a lot of things. I can rationalize tackle. I can rationalize wide receiver. I am hoping for wide receiver, so I disagree with Shay there. I'd be kind of concerned and kind of mad about Brock Bowers. I'm not going to lie. I know that he is this generation, somewhat, you know, explosive athlete. He should be this game changer, this game wrecker at the next level. But I just think he's a little small for a tight end. And I think that, like, for as good as he is, as athletic as he is, I don't know if I trust the Bears offense to actually find a good spot for him, especially when you already have two capable tight ends and you're wasting, I shouldn't say waste, but you're spending a top 10 pick on somebody like that. Like, get a wide receiver at that point. Don't try to, like, make it work with this unicorn tight end, because a lot of the times they develop slowly, and I just don't think it's worth it at this point. So Bowers, and then Fatanu, because I think he projects as a guard and not a tackle. So if they get him, then you're just essentially getting a guard with a top 10 pick. And I know Nate Davis isn't great. I know there's questions about Tevin Jenkins, but I just don't think that's good value there.
I'll tell you what, but anything short of like Ryan Pace taking back over, trading away all of our draft capital and taking some guy from the NAIA. I mean, honestly, like, think about this answer is a non-answer maybe, but I'm so stoked about where we're at, you guys. I mean, think about where we are at compared to where we've been for decades when it comes to the draft. We've got the one and the nine. We've got stockpiled picks in 2025. We're not that team that is like pieced together with, you know, gauze pads and ball bearings and duck. We are sitting in the catbird seat for a freaking change. And I mean, so honestly, like, it would have to be like something ginormously awful for me to be really upset. And I just don't see Pace doing Ryan Poles doing something awful, terrible, that would make me angry. I'd be shocked.
Okay. I just
Blue
like
Captain Flutes.
The implicit trust of Ryan Poles is interesting to me, because it is kind of like, I trust whatever decision he makes, but there are, like, I'm with Brendan 100%. Brock Bowers, I'm out. Basically, if I'm going to pick you at nine, it's not like I hope you're Rob Gronkowski. You have to be Rob Gronkowski, or I burned the pick. And he's not that kind of freakish athlete or size. So I'm with you on that. But like, the implicit trust of Ryan Poles' side of things, I trust him to get the pick right, because I like firmly believe it's going to be one of the four positions I mentioned, whether it's on the line, whether it's a wide receiver, or on the offensive line. Anywhere he goes there, I can rationalize it and explain it, and I'll trust and believe that the pick is right. But it doesn't mean that I have to like all of those options equally. Like, number one for me is defensive end. I trust him even if he doesn't do that, but I don't have to wake up Friday morning and be like, ooh, let's go Ryan. I'm just so happy that he picked somebody. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but I think that's the beauty, in my opinion, of where we're at, is I don't think we have a GM that's going to take a tight end. when we already have two really solid tight ends, to Brendan's earlier point, you know? So, and so I guess to this question, if he did do that, then yeah, I do agree that I feel like that would be a poor choice. I just don't think he is so good at the scouting, at his number system, at understanding scarcity, at he seems to understand the entire process so well. I'd be shocked if he took, you know, a tight end at that spot. So do you think there's any smoke to the Byron? Do you think Byron Murphy is a legit potential pick? Would you be interested in
how much sway does Flus have in the room?
Yep.
If Byron Murphy goes off the board at 9, Matt Eberflus put the pick in. Like that, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Byron Murphy, Flus is going to walk up to the podium and announce it. That is 100% his pick. And again, not saying it's wrong. Like, I like Byron Murphy as a player, but if they take a defensive tackle, make no mistake about it, that was 100% Eberflus's pick.
I have thought about that because, like, it does feel like, look, I'm not in a war room or anything, but we know guys go to bat for certain guys when it comes to like coaches, GMs, scouts. And it really felt like last year, Darnell Wright was a Ryan Poles pick. I think Caleb Williams is everyone's pick because he's, you know, clearly the top player in the draft. But I do wonder if there's going to be like some give and take, like, hey, we got Darnell Wright last year. I think Byron Murphy is the missing piece to a top 10 defense. I don't know. I mean, like, I do wonder if that's, he kind of has a little more sway there, but you know,
what's the organizational process there? They're doing a duet and Poles is like,
one. No, not like that, but I could just see like pounding the table to get him. I don't know how, like, you know, just like what the arguments like that are made, but I'm kind of concerned, and I know you're not, and when it comes to what you want to see happen, Shay, but I am concerned that there's going to be like Roma Dunze on the board, and they go after Byron Murphy or one of these other guys and leave one of those receivers on there. And then what does that say? Like, does the head coach have a little more sway in that? I don't know. I mean, you never know really what the process is like, but it's definitely a fluke.
Who cares? Like, sorry to interrupt, but like,
yeah,
the way Roma Dunze gets talked about now at 9, it's so interesting to me because people are turning him into Jerry Rice before he's even gotten a snap. Like, this whole idea that he's a guarantee, I must have missed where first-round receivers are like an automatic take here. First-round receivers bust more than anybody. And it's always like my biggest worry, if it's not Roma Dunze, if they draft him and you get him on this team, we're going to know in a hurry. Because, look, I was a guy a year ago, I won't hide from it, I wanted Jackson Smith and Jigba in the draft. I liked getting DJ Moore, but I wanted somebody else to help out Justin Fields. And then I'm watching Jackson Smith and Jigba in Seattle, and I'm like, dodged a bullet, because guess what? Like, if they don't pop in year one, they're not popping. So I don't know, man. I feel like I was talking to somebody today who was saying, could Garrett Wilson be on the move in a few years? Like, just wide receiver for me, I'd rather get the known quantity. And I also kind of feel like the Keenan Allen thing, you can have one. I don't think you can have both. You can move draft capital to get Keenan Allen and then do something else in the draft, or you cannot make that trade and then do whatever you want. Like, if you want to go balls to the wall and trade up for Marvin Harrison, do it. But putting that much investment in wide receiver makes me nervous, man.
Yeah, I loved the – there's like a video of him recently, and they're like, oh, he watches Davante Adams tape. Like, he's real. And I was like, oh, cool. Okay, like, sounds good.
I remember when Nikhil Harry was sold as like an elite talent.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Everyone was like, oh
jinx. Nice.
Kevin White. And we really, okay, sorry. Just
right.
Too soon. Seen that too soon? Yeah.
Sort of to Jack's point here, you know, the Bears have so many great picks. And so I want to ask you about the least interesting one. Third round, what do you think is like the zone? Where do the Bears attack in the third round? Like, what's a good place to build at that pick?
I'd have to get a crystal ball. I have no idea. Like, the third round pick, you might, like, what is it? Dungeons and Dragons. They got the 20-sided dice. You might as well get one of those and roll it. Who knows? I don't know. I wish I could. I wish that I had a better answer. I think the first pick obviously is going to be Caleb. The second pick is either wide receiver or defensive end. I think in the third round, I mean, ideally you'd like to get somebody who can play center for this team at some point. I know they kind of went at offensive line and free agency, but that's the one thing. Like, Cam, I think you were saying trade down because it's boring. There is a little excitement in trading down if it nets you a first-round pick and a second-round pick this year and you walk away with Jackson Powers Johnson and a wide receiver in the second round. That would like that would get me excited.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you put it like that, it sounds good. you know, people can be excited about things. That's totally fine. Yeah, no, I mean, like, I think that's a great answer. I have nothing to add to that.
So kind of on the same lines in the third round, maybe third round, we'll see. You don't want to take a wide receiver at number nine. Would you like to take a wide receiver in the third round? And what do you think of your former Michigan Spartan, Keon Coleman? Because I'm a big Keon Coleman guy. I think he would fit this team pretty well. I know there's concerns about his separation, but the dude just, you know, goes up and makes plays. What do you think of Coleman?
Is he mocked to fall that far?
I mean, he could be a second, but there's been guys that have really put him down the list, like behind, you know, Franklin, Pearsall, obviously McConkie. Like, there's so many wide receivers. It's so deep. A few of these guys are going to fall.
I'll tell you, Ricky Pearsall is a kid I love out of Florida. I know you asked me about Keon Coleman. Coleman's just one of those guys that's like, it's a little bit like Brock Bowers. Not that they play the same position or that they do the same thing, but what's special about him? Like, he doesn't have game-breaking speed. He's not, like, the most incredible release or separation guy. He's kind of just a big body wide receiver. And he goes up and makes plays, but he makes those plays in college. And, frankly, he should have had a better year at Florida State than he did. I like the kid. I'm not trying to, like, hit him with a sledgehammer here, but – I don't have a huge opinion on whether or not I draft him. I think third round receivers, typically you're rolling the dice anyway. It's just a lot of them end up being pretty good. For me, if you want to go more value, like if there's a way that you can find Ricky Pearsall, I'd go get him. It's just one of those guys can play inside, certainly in college, can do it in the NFL. Athletic catch ability. I mean, the one-handed catch highlight that he had at Florida this year was exciting. That's a kid I feel like could really pop that nobody's been talking about a ton. If there's a way you could land Ricky Pearsall, I'd go for it.
So Shay, I question his speed a little bit. He does find the soft zone quite a bit, and I've started to do a little more homework on him. He kind of reminds me, and not just, you know, not like the white wide receiver thing, but he does remind me a little bit if Tom Waddle was just a little bit faster back in his day, just with how he, you know, he could find the soft belly of the defense and make every catch.
Other than Pearsall, is there anybody else, any other sleepers that you're looking at? Maybe somebody that you think, hey, people aren't saying enough about this guy, could jump up draft boards. What are you kind of thinking about that one?
I mean, not as far as like jumping off draft boards, but I think the guys, like, this is a super deep receiver draft. I was looking at CBS Sports Top 100 prospects. 17 of them were receivers. That we're not going to see 17 receivers go in the first round, obviously. But, like, if I'm just now thinking about the trade down factor because I get a little more interested. If you trade out a nine, then I start to look at, okay, I could take a wide receiver in the 20s, and if I have a second-round pick, then I can address something else there. And Brian Thomas Jr. is a guy out of LSU who started to turn some heads. A little more of a vertical threat, but really good player. Could kick DJ Moore inside, actually, in some sets, I think, which would be really interesting. I like Johnny Wilson, the other Florida State receiver, another big body kind of guy, huge catch radius. So a couple guys late in the first round I think are interesting, definitely if the Bears trade back. I'm kind of – like as much as I say I want a defensive end, I am also a little bit resigned to – Odunze is probably going to be there at nine and he's probably going to be the pick. So I'm trying to avoid like much ado about nothing and I do 400 hours of homework on some guy who is going to be there in the third or fourth round and I'm like, I need that receiver, like a Ricky Pearsall type. I need that guy. And then I'm like, oh, I wasted 40 hours of my life watching tape on some kid from Georgia State and the Bears just took Roma Dunze. Duh. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes. No, I do. And in fact, Jack and I were just talking about that this week. We're like, we don't do homework on guys pre-draft because we're like, why? I'm just going to wait until we draft somebody. Then I'll be obsessive about it and I'll look into them. But before that, that's why we have Brendan.
Right. And then you fall in love with prospects and you don't get them. And then you're angry. And like myself, I have a sick relationship with sports. Like I just get mad when teams don't do the things that I feel like they should do. And like, if I do all this studying on a fourth round receiver and I'm like, dude, this kid can really play. This dude's nice. And then they don't take him. And then I'm sitting on my couch and I'm yelling at the TV on a Saturday afternoon. And I'm like, what? Why am I feeling this way? So I'm kind of in the same way, like especially the late round kind of players. One, I know I'm joking when I say you got to get a Dungeons and Dragons dice and roll it. No, seriously, like you have a better chance of hitting the Powerball than you do of, and the Bears only have four picks, getting all four picks right. If any one of us could take four picks in this draft and correctly predict all four of them, I'm telling you, you had a better chance of winning the Powerball than doing that. Because it's just, it's impossible. Who's going to be on the board? I have no idea. It's like lunacy. You'll go crazy looking at this stuff.
It's true.
Yeah, I do. I go crazy looking at it all the time. Like, oh, like that is exactly how I feel about it.
I keep doing these seven-round mock drafts on PFF, and I'm like, what am I doing this for? Like, oh, I go God. Through it, yeah. And I'm like, what? What am I doing this for? Who's the – his name escapes me. The kid out of Texas A&M. I've been sitting here trying to think of another receiver. What's the kid out of Texas A&M? That kid – I don't think I'm wrong on who I'm thinking of, but there was a good player out of A&M. He's going to go later, like fourth round, just said the PFF mocks. I'm like, oh, I think I picked him the other day. But I can't think of his name. Anyway,
I have no idea.
Non sequitur.
Anaya Smith.
Yeah.
Yes, Anaya Smith. That's a good player. Now we got the juices flowing. A.D. Mitchell, A.D. Mitchell out of Texas, played with Georgia for a couple years, won a couple national title. I like him a lot. The other kid, Xavier Worthy. Anybody that's like, look, little slight, but anybody that can set the record in the 40 time, I'm going to be a little intrigued by.
Absolutely.
So I'm curious whether, like, obviously that you approach the draft from like a professional standpoint. It's like, do you enjoy it more from it's an event that your job revolves around the week, or do you enjoy it more from like, I'm a fan of the team?
First of all, I don't approach anything from a professional standpoint. I don't want that. I approach everything from a fan, like not to get philosophical in the way that I do things, but obviously I consume more than the average fan because I have the time and it's my job to do that. But I don't think of myself as like a reporter doing the serious homework and the deep dives on these guys. I watch football. I watch tape. I'm a fan. I want to see good football in Chicago, and I have opinions on what I think the best way to do it is. So I try not to have that like super professional relationship with sports at any level. And so when it comes to how I approach the draft, it's the same way. Like I have a joke on Cap and Hood. I grew up a Patriots fan and I've got like this prayer circle next to my bed. I've got candles with a photo of Drake May in the middle and I have the candles lit every night. And I say a little prayer to my Drake May altar before I go to bed. I think that I do enough of the homework to have a decent opinion on what the right process is, but I can be wrong as well as anybody else. And I'm a fan in my approach to all of this. So I don't have like, I need to cover it. No, I'm going to be at home on the couch. I might have a beer or two and I'm going to watch the draft and have a good time.
So go ahead, Brendan.
No, I was just going to say you are a professional who does their job very well, who pulls together deal breaker stories about people sleeping with each other's wives and everything every morning. Yeah. So, you know, don't sell yourself short.
it's just my thing is like, it's sports, man. It's football. We're not like, can I swear? I don't know if I can swear. I don't want to break any rules. It's fucking football. We're not curing cancer, man. Like, it's just, it's like my wife is getting her PhD. She like helps people on a day-to-day basis. She's helping people get through their lives. And like, I go to work and sometimes I make dick jokes. And I and it's like, why would I ever take this too seriously? As soon as I start taking it seriously, then it becomes not fun. And this whole thing is supposed to just be fun. It's football. Who cares? It's like, it is what it is.
And this isn't even football. This is just naming it's players on a stage. Yeah.
Fucking kids in suits shaking the commissioner's hand. Who cares?
Right. Yeah.
Sorry, Brandon? Jack, you were going to say something?
I it's so safe to say you've been heavily on Twitter in the last 3 months. It's...
Yeah, a little bit. you're
really enjoying those moments.
I never.
It's a cesspool. Man. It's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. All right, Brendan, come on. Let's do this. Let's do this.
All right. So we're going to do some quick hitters here. We're going to get everybody involved. We usually do just a true false segment, but because you're here, we have to turn it into shot, no shot. Uh-huh. You know, so at least, hey, you get to participate. You're not answering the questions. So, Ryan, take it away.
What we're going to do, Shay, you are the man. We are so happy that you're here with us. You're going to go first with each of these, if that's okay with you. You know, sometimes it puts a little more pressure, but I think it's also more fun that way. We're going to go the exact same order for every single time. So we're going to go Shay, Cam, Brendan, Jack, and I will finish it up. So, boys, I love this. Jack, you got some really, really good ones in here as well, buddy. The Bears will trade away next year's first-round pick and trade up for Marvin Harrison Jr.
No shot. There's no chance. it'd be hard to hate the move, but it'd be kind of easy to hate it too. You can't trade next year's first-round pick. It's like insane. It would be nuts for a wide receiver. I get Marvin's good, but God, can't do that.
Yeah, no shot. That's exactly how I feel. No shot. I'll make it quick.
I'll say shot. I mean, I'm not going to say true, but I say there's a shot because I think if he does land at 5 or 6, I think you open the door a little bit. And I do know that the Bears and Marvin Harrison Jr. like each other quite a lot.
I'm going to say shot too, only because I don't think they'll probably do it. And I wouldn't, like I said, be mad if there's a generational receiver. If there's a guy that you can take that will be likely to succeed and be plug and play, I think it might be Harrison Jr. And then you've got a first, 2 seconds, a third, a fourth, a fifth, and 3 sixths next year. So if there's a time to like move some draft capital, now might be the time to do it.
I don't think so, but every year there's a dude that falls and nobody sees it coming. Could it be Marvin Harrison Jr.? Like, I don't, like, maybe, you know, they say, hey, Malik Nabers is the guy. They fall in love with him a little bit more. Maybe Odunze goes earlier than people think. I think crazier things have happened, but no, I don't think it's going to happen. So no shot on that one. All right. I love this one. And I especially love, Jack, that I think you wrote this one. The Bears will underperform and Matt Eberflus will lose his job after next season.
It's actually really difficult to answer. Because what is underperform? Like, he wins 7 games. Is that underperforming enough that you can him and maybe just elevate Waldron? I'm going to say no shot because I don't want that to happen. He's got the beard now, man. He looks good. I'm into it. He looks too good. He looks like a professional NFL coach now. I'm into it. No shot.
He's comfortable in his workplace now. I don't think no shot. I think if they were going to fire Matt Eberflus, they would have done it last year or this offseason. And I think that he has endeared himself to the right people in that, whether or not he wins football games or not. And I think that the Bears are still the Bears at the end of the day, and they value, you know, nice guys that endear themselves to the right people. So, no shot.
I'm going to go no shot as well. I think at worst, they kind of maintain the status quo around that 6 to 7 wins again. And then at best, they could be a playoff team. But I also think that Ryan Poles is smart enough to see he made this decision to keep him for a reason. He sees the culture. He sees the locker room. He sees this developing. He is not going to give up after 1 year and do the same damn thing that every other Bears team has done, which is get a rookie quarterback and can the head coach a year later, because that has never, ever worked.
Kevin Flew says, no shot. and just wanted to hear all the rest of you say no shot as well. Unless there's like strippers and cocaine, the guy's going to be back.
God, he doesn't seem like a strippers and cocaine.
He does not. He does not.
I'm going to say shot because it's the NFL and there's always a possibility. I think that maybe they fall in love with Shane Waldron. Maybe they realize that he's not the guy. I don't know. I'm not as high on Matt Eberflus as the head coach. I think defensive coordinator, I think he did a phenomenal job last season, Jack, to his credit. Like, you know, I think he did way better than I expected him to do as a defensive coordinator. But I just think that there's absolutely a possibility. The NFL, just so many things can happen. There's always a team that you think is projected moving upwards and they take a big step backwards. You know what I mean? That's one of the reasons why we watch. You never ever know what's going to happen the next season. I think that makes a lot of fun. Boys, I hope this one is right. I hope this is a big shot. Bears will unveil white helmets as their helmet option this season. They're going to go white on white on white. Shot or no shot, boys?
No fucking shot. When's the last time they did something fun? That would be fun. When's the last time? They won't do Hard Knocks. I think they're going to go white on white on white. Also, honestly, I know people like them. The all-white uniforms, not for me. Nobody that does them. I think Michigan State did like a gruff Sparty on the white. I kind of liked it. But white on white on white, I'm not a fan of. Even when the Lions wore them, they were clean, but I not my favorite, especially on a white helmet with an all-white uniform.
Yeah, I'm super out on the white helmet. I like white on white, but I think there's no shot. I think the Bears value their iconic blue and orange helmet too much to like make it a futuristic Nike Oregon-style version of it. Like, I think no shot.
No shot. And not only that, they haven't even brought back the white on whites in well over a decade. They haven't done that. And that's pretty cool. So they're not even cool enough to do that. What makes you think they're going to be cool enough to bring back a white helmet? So no shot. This is, you know, McCaskey still on this team, by the way.
It's such a bummer, you guys. I wish I could say shot, but part of the reason that it's no shot is because this third option can only be worn with one of the team's authorized optional uniforms, classic, alternate, or color rush. I suppose they could wear the white with the throwback white tops, and then could they wear the white bottoms? Could they actually do it that way or not? But I'm not sure that would quite go. So, I mean, they've got their stupid orange. They've got the traditional blue with the C and the orange with the C. I just don't know how they could – I don't know by the rule. And by the way, what a stupid freaking rule, NFL. I don't know how they work it in based on no that rule. League. What's that?
No fun league.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, who cares? Let them do what they want. Just open it up. Like,
I actually think white on white with the orange, like color rush helmet would be kind of cool. That might be kind of cool.
As long as I don't see orange on orange again, I don't care. So shot, maybe just anything so that I don't have to look at those terrible orange creamsicle jerseys with orange helmets. It was the worst look ever. It was terrible. I don't – gross.
Montez likes them.
Well, good. Good for him. Good for him.
You know what? He'd like any jersey that he can get 4 sacks in. That's he'll look good in anything as long as he's hitting the quarterback.
Yeah, but it was pretty fun to hear him. I don't know if you guys heard the interview with Greenlight, but he pretty much shit on the Commanders stuff pretty hard. He's like, yeah, it's a lot better than wearing those uniforms and being called the Commanders.
Everyone's so dumb, though, about like the Commanders thing. I get because the name change and the branding is such a joke. But if you just win football games, whatever you're wearing is going to look fucking cool. Like, surprise, you win games, you're going to look cool in whatever you got on.
Except the all orange, which no one will ever look cool in. No, to be clear.
Yeah. If they wear the orange and they freight train the Packers, you're going to change your tune on that.
I'll be excited that they beat the Packers, but I'll say that they look stupid doing it. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Okay, I love this
I want to put that on a board somewhere. I'm going to remember that take. I will be back. If they ever wear the orange top and beat the Packers, I will be back because you will like it.
Shay, just open invitation, buddy. Open invitation. You are always welcome back, always, especially to call me on my bullshit. All right, so here we go. I love this one, and I'm altering it a little bit. Okay, so Caleb Williams will surpass Eric Kramer's single-season passing records of 3,800 yards and 29 TDs within the first three seasons.
Shot. He's going to do it in year one. This is, not telling, like, it's not because he's incredible. I don't know. He could be Aaron Rodgers. That's the latest comp, right? But he's got 2,000-yard receivers. He's got a pass-catching back in DeAndre Swift. The offensive line's good enough to keep him upright. And having watched him a ton at USC, he's good enough to escape and keep his eyes downfield and throw the football. And frankly, the fact that those are the franchise records is fucking pathetic. He's going to beat them in year one.
Yeah, 100%. 100% shot. Like, if he doesn't, that's a disaster from every – that's, like, more of a disaster than Justin Fields is. Or was, I should say. Yeah, shot. He'll do it. Like, it would be bizarre if he didn't.
Shay, have you seen Iron Man?
Yes.
Okay, because in my head, I'm just going, you know, Tony Stark built this in a cave. And I'm just like, Shane Waldron took Geno Smith and made him a 4,000-yard passer. Because, look, they do have the infrastructure. You said 1,000-yard wide receivers, a very heavy passing offense. Shane Waldron turned Geno Smith into a 4,000-yard passer, and he made Jared Goff one of the league passing leaders when he was with him in L.A. I don't think it's going to happen this year just because I've just been burned so many times on Bears rookie quarterbacks. I do think it's going to be a good season. I'm going to believe that it's the first 2 years. I think in year two, he definitely gets it. But he's going to have a good rookie season regardless. So either way, shot.
I love that Shay and Cam had almost no hesitation. 29 tutties? You're saying he's going to have 30 touchdowns in the next – you're saying, Shay, this year he's going to break that?
Yeah, why not? How could he – listen, you just – everything Brendan said about the offense and Shane Waldron and having the 1,000-yard receivers on the outside, I didn't even – having a pass-catching back in Swift, I didn't even mention the tight ends. Like, the four primary weapons, I assume, in the passing game, because Waldron likes to work as tight ends in a little bit as well, you're going to have two outside receivers that were both in the top 25 in catch rate, and you're going to have two tight ends that were both in the top 25 in catch rate. There is not a time in history where a number one quarterback has walked into a better ready-made offense than this one. There just isn't. And this is one of the all-time number one quarterbacks. He better throw 30 touchdowns. Why is that some incredible bar? Like, well, Justin Herbert, what did Justin Herbert do?
His we're the Bears.
I'm so glad that I didn't grow up here with this team because you're all held hostage by that.
We are.
The Bengals were a team where quarterbacks went to die until Joe Burrow got drafted. The Patriots were a disaster until you got Tom Brady. Like, of course the Bears have sucked for so long because they haven't found the quarterback. But if this is the quarterback, we're good to go. And this is no team has had this good of a scenario for this good of a quarterback. And the stars have aligned. Like, just embrace this.
I'm going to say
Trust it. Put your heart out there one more time.
I agree with all of that. I do. I agree with all that. I'm only going to say no shot because I'm not going to believe it till I see it. Until I see an offense that is schemed and capable of scoring touchdowns on a prolific rate, which we talk about it all the time. Shay, you guys talk about it all the time. That's our dream, is to see that offense in Chicago. But until I see it, I am not going to believe it. I still think you're probably right, and I hope you're right. I'm going to say no shot.
It hurts my heart that I'm with him. Like, Shay, like, I totally agree. I want him to be the guy. I want to get hurt again. But I'm a Bears fan, and I've been
Three years, man.
I thought Justin Fields was going to have 4,000 yards his second season, passing and like 800 yards rushing. I thought he was going to be the guy to do it, but it didn't happen. I trust Caleb Williams significantly more than I trust the Chicago Bears organization. And I think there's something to that, and me saying it in that way. I'm also going to say no shot. I haven't seen it, and I don't trust this organization to get it right. And God, I hope I'm wrong. And this one, I hope with all of my heart that I'm wrong. And I hope I look stupid when saying this. People are like, Dengel, what the hell were you thinking? I wasn't. I'm still PTSD, man. I can't do it.
CJ Stroud had 23. I mean, I don't know if that's a good comp or not, but
and wasn't he? He also, he may have missed a game or two, but he also did like Tank Dell, Nico Collins, like CJ Stroud's great.
Right.
I'm thinking Justin Herbert, 31-10. Mm-hmm. That might have been the rookie record. I'd have to look, but
yeah,
I feel like you're getting more that kind of quarterback than you are. Like CJ Stroud wasn't the generational talent. The thing I have to remind everyone is if we rewind time a year ago and make Caleb Williams eligible for last year's draft, he gets picked ahead of CJ Stroud. Like that's the level of talent that you're getting.
It's crazy. All right, boys, I got one more for you. I think this one's a good one. The Chicago Bears will defeat the Green Bay Packers at least once in the upcoming season.
Shot, because if they don't, listen, I just don't want to take those phone calls again, man. I don't want to do that show anymore. I've only been here for like 3 years, and I'm like, I don't want to do that show again. That show just sucks. Just please beat them.
No shot. I just, like, every year that I have been around the Chicago Bears, I go, well, like, one of these Packers games, they're just going to do it. They're just going to win. And, like, it may not be because they're better. They're just going to win. And they don't. They just don't. So I'm going to say no shot until it happens. And I get that that's kind of a cheap answer. But, yeah, let's see it happen.
I want to take a minute to point out Shea's answer because, as Shea said, he didn't grow up here as a Bears fan. He wasn't a Bears fan. He's a Patriots fan. To the people that say the media and like the radio hosts, the TV hosts, the columnists all root for the Bears to lose because it generates engagement. No, it's miserable for everybody. Nobody wants to live through that bullshit. Like, we all want to be happy. So that, listen to Shea. No, nobody wants to go through that. And sadly, I'm going with Cam because I'm saying no shot. I pretty much did the Bart Simpson. I did the Bart Simpson on the chalkboard that says, I will not pick the Bears to beat the Green Bay Packers until it happens because I keep getting burned every, and you know what? Chances are later this season, I'm going to get into the training camp hype. I'm going to see the Bears Packers week 3. And I'm going to say, and they might be 2-0. And I might say, yeah, they got a shot. And I'm going to have to like remind myself not to pick them because they always break my freaking heart every single year.
I'm going to say shots. I think the thing that we beefed about a bunch on this show was, you know, being embarrassed by Green Bay. But I mean, clearly the Bears outside of DJ Moore had really no weapons. It was either DJ Moore or Fields tries to do something athletic, or maybe we get the ball to Komet. And so from an offensive perspective, we were not even in the same ballpark with the Packers. I think at least talent wise, we're going to be positioned to win one of the two games. I'm going to say shot.
No shot. It's not talent. It's Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur has this team turned inside out, left, right. He knows everything about this organization, how it's run, how to beat it. And that dude, as much as it hurts my heart, I don't see it happening anytime in the near future, despite that I do think that this is a significantly more talented football team. Shea, dude, I just thank you for being here, man. No, please respond to it.
Shea had one thing, yeah.
I want to ask you all a question quickly before we get out of here. I'm just thinking about this now, too. Who has the better offense, the Bears or the Packers, right now today? Count Caleb Williams as a member of the Bears. This is cheating because I can't tell you what the 9th pick's going to be, but count Caleb Williams as your quarterback.
The only thing is it's so hard to say that it's Caleb Williams is a better quarterback, or and you're not asking that, but just with him as, because we don't,
he has better offense.
The Packers.
The quarterback out of it. Who has the better offense?
Bears.
Are we taking coaches? Yeah, are we?
That's a big F. Like, that's doing a lot of work.
But I'm making the point to you that, like, the Packers, right. David Bakhtiari retired. Aaron Jones, I don't know what they were thinking, moving him out of town and picking up Josh Jacobs. Like, that made no sense. The receivers, going back to my point about you can find receivers anywhere, shout out Jaden Reed, Michigan State legend. They've got Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. They don't have Pro Bowlers. They don't have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. the offensive line, like Elgton Jenkins is still there and he's good, but it's kind of been inconsistent, certainly from a health perspective. Tight end, yeah, maybe a wash, but I could argue that with Komet and Everett, the Bears have better tight end. I just, for me, like, I know everybody's all worried. The Packers are the Packers, and they just beat us all the time. But on paper, man, I feel like the Bears have the better offense.
I think I would say at least it would be even. But I think Ryan's point is a good one. I mean, we've not seen a Bears offense scheme on the level that the Green Bay Packers offense can scheme.
Yeah, LaFleur's a genius.
Or really any of the top-tier offensive franchises, in the league. Like, we have come so far in our development, and the Bears are in a much better place than they were when this rebuild started. But we still haven't seen a Bears coaching staff, an offensive staff that seems to have a propensity to be able to, A, scheme pregame, and then B, make adjustments during the game on a level that is like, it really is, they're playing chess and we're playing checkers. And until I see us play checkers, I don't even think with equal talent we can compete. I don't know.
We'll see.
I hope I'm wrong.
I hope Waldron's the great elixir, man. Like, it's so funny how much he's been lost in the shuffle of the number one pick and all this other offseason stuff, because he was an incredible hire, man. That Seattle offense last year with very little talent and a DK Metcalf who probably didn't want to be there, and Geno Smith at quarterback, and people get mad. Oh, why'd you hire a guy who didn't score that many points per game? And I'm like, they ran the fewest plays in football. They were top 10 in EPA. Like, that's a unit that should never have been top 10 in their dreams, and they were top 10. That was a crazy hire. He should have been a head coach, and you got him as an OC. I don't think that's been talked about enough. I feel like this offense is poised to be explosive.
Does that help your anxiety, Ryan? Because Ryan read a lot of stuff from Seahawks fans when they hired him, and he got a little scared. So
yeah, a good buddy of mine is a Seahawks fan. Shout out to Daniel. Thank you for all that. And he basically just said that it was, thank you so much, Shane, get out of here, as soon as he was released, very, very much the same way that, we felt with our last OC. So, you know what I mean? I want to believe you, man. You clearly know football. You know your stuff. You're around it all the time. It's just hard, man. You know what I mean? Like, when you get scarred for so long within an organization, you know what I mean? Like, there's certain people that I really like, and then when they get here, they're not who they were before or something. And I don't believe in curses or anything along those lines, but I do believe in organizational dysfunction. And I just think that we have found a way to lose for so long that it's going to be hard for my heart to open up to winning. And I sincerely hope that Caleb Williams is the one to usher in that winning. And I eat my words, and you come back to this podcast and you open it with, Ryan Dangle, you're a dumb shit, right? Like, that's what I'm hoping.
I will. Exactly. Jackass. No, I'm jackass. Like, as an out of towner, like somebody who didn't grow up here and is, look, man, like, if they fail with everything that they've built, I will be like all of you. I will become as jaded as all of you. In part because, dude, like, I'm out there. I'm really out there as, like, I think this team could actually contend to be competitive and maybe win this division if everything works the way that I feel like it can. I'm really impressed by a lot of the hires. I think you have incredible assistants now. The defense at the end of last year that Eberflus ran was awesome. Packers game excluded. So I don't know. I just, like, all of it's working out kind of the way I hoped and thought that it would. And I'm out there as saying, this is real. I believe in the way that they're building it, and it feels legitimate. And that's different than the Bears most of my life. So for me to be able to be like, I think this could be a playoff team. I think they're building something actually real and sustainable. If they fuck it up, I'm going to hate them for a very long time. Because they'll have made me look like a clown. So I'll be right there with all of you.
Hey, I mean, at least, like, you know, it was not that long ago. They're what, lost 14 in a row. Like, it's better to have a conversation to have than be like, wow, like, this swing guard is kind of good. And by the way, the Bears have won two games all year. Like, I get that Bears fans have apprehension about it, but I feel like, just to be the annoying optimist for one moment, like, what a like, sort of to Jack's point, like, it's so much more enjoyable to be like debate about whether they could beat the Packers than be depressingly being like, oh well, like, I'm just gonna do this to myself. I'm just gonna watch this game, even though I know it's gonna happen. Like, it is. If we're gonna do baby steps, like, it's not a bad baby step to take, I guess.
Yeah.
Shay, we cannot thank you enough for coming on the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Just run through your socials really quick. And obviously, you know, we know that you're doing a lot for ESPN 1000 and just you're doing phenomenal freaking work. I know I'm going to be listening to you tomorrow morning on my commute, and I'm very, very thankful for that. But just run it through for just in case any of our listeners are not following you, getting after you, because they need to be, dude. They need to be.
Yeah, Twitter, pretty much the only social media that I use for like sports opinions or any takes or anything like that. At Shay Norling, Shay is S-H-E-A. Sorry, my dog just tried to put a hole in the hardwood. I don't know if everybody could hear that. S-H-E-A, and then my last name. So at Shay Norling on Twitter. And then you can catch me, look, 7 to 10 on with Cap and Hoodie, always fighting with Cap and his bozo opinions. And then look, Saturday mornings, Tyler Rocky and I, 8 to 9 a.m., 8 to 10 a.m., occasionally when we have a little more space in the schedule to spread our wings and fly. But Saturday mornings, ESPN 1000, me and Tyler Rocky every morning.
You guys do great work. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Shay. We really appreciate you. Enjoy the rest of your night, my friend.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Have a good night.
Take care.
Thanks, Shay. You too.
Brendan, again, I just, you know, dude, I we had Tyler Rocky on. He was great. We've had a lot of really good people on, but I just, your capacity to just to connect with really great people who are so good at it. I love his ability too, to just jump right in. You know, some guys are like, I'm going to let you interview me. Green Bay Packers people, not naming any names. I'm going to let you interview me and then that's it. And we're done. You know, I'm not going to throw in with you. And his willingness in which to do so was fun. It was fun.
It was fun. Shay can battle like the best of them. Of course that comes with the territory of having to be the EP for the cap, you know, with David Kaplan. But yeah, I met him. I talked about it, I think, on the show a few months ago. We did. There was a ESPN 1000 trivia. I took all of Shay's stuff when I won, and just talking with him. And you know, we had known each other a little bit through Twitter, but it was great to actually, like, you know, introduce myself, get to talk with him. He was so nice. It was funny because somebody's like, "Yeah, he doesn't like hearing compliments about himself." So I'm sure he loved that. How we were just praising him, but really, really fun guy. No, really fun guy. Really glad he took the time to talk with us. And I'm sure this week's going to be very interesting for his show going into the draft.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy. David Kaplan seems like a nice guy to the extent that I've met him and know him. But I don't think people realize how difficult it is to work professionally with David Kaplan every day in terms of like sports opinions and things that are said and like that whole thing. Like it is not for everyone, I would say. So kudos to him for being so good at his job. And also just like a cool referendum on, like, there are so many people in Chicago sports media. Like there are just so many different avenues, and it speaks to how good of a sports town it is that like, any given day, you can just pull someone out of a, you know, a radio show or a company or a newspaper or whatever, and they're always just like really smart and have good opinions that are personable. Like it is a great city for sports knowledge and conversation and stuff. That's my takeaway.
I'm glad that we had him on, and we've had a great lineup of ESPN folks on this show, which, you know, so thanks to ESPN 1000 and a great get, Brendan. I think we all have our own particular niches that we enjoy when it comes to this time of year and in terms of talking about football. So I've just been missing talking football. I don't miss all the subterfuge. Like, I was so happy to be like not involved in that, but like this conversation all day, every day, like that was super fun. I miss it. I'm kind of looking forward to, you know, talking about actual things of substance, you know, and now we're a little closer to things of substance, like actual football things. And so I love it. And I love hearing your guys' opinion. So thanks to you guys. Seriously, that was a lot of fun.
All right, boys, let's do this. Let's do things you really want to see in the draft and also anything that we missed before we get to shout outs. So let's go. Brendan, I feel like you got you're itching to say some things either that we missed or that you're looking forward to the draft. Then we'll go Cam, Jack, and I will finish it up.
I don't know. Am I? I feel like we hit on a ton of stuff that was happening. I know the last few days, Byron Murphy has really risen up the boards. We talked a little bit about that, whether that's a Fluce pick potentially or a Poles pick. I do think that, like, just kind of hearing things, I'm not sure if the Bears really love Roma Dumbze, if he's actually going to be there. I think they would prefer to get somebody else. And I do think the Harrison stuff is a little bit real. I know our guy, well, my guy, I know you guys follow him too, Joey Christopoulos, had the rumor that Harrison really wants to play for the Bears and Caleb Williams. I do know, talking with somebody from Ohio State way back when, he wanted to play with Caleb Williams even before, like, the draft was set. Like, they were kind of trying to figure out a way to make that happen. So maybe there's some smoke there. I still don't think a trade is actually going to happen, but I do think that, again, the door's a little bit open there. Yeah, I don't know. I'm very interested to see what the quarterbacks do. Everybody keeps saying that it could be the first draft with four quarterbacks going in a row. I think that's BS, personally. It's going to be very interesting to see which one falls, because could it be Drake May? Could it be J.J. McCarthy? Even Jane Daniels, because there's been a lot of things going on with Washington recently where people thought he was going to be the second pick, and then his agent comes out and starts saying some stuff like, well, I don't know about that, and maybe he doesn't like Washington and wants to play there, which is hilarious because this is the exact same conversation many people were having about Caleb Williams and being worried about him wanting to come to the Bears. Turns out it's Jane Daniels in Washington potentially. So that's just the funniest thing. But yeah, I think, like, with Shea and like Cam, I'm very, very ready for this to be over. I do like watching certain prospects, but Ryan, I'm like you, once a pick has been made, I want to dive deep into them. I want to learn everything about them. I want to see how they're going to be put on the offense or defense, what have you, and just kind of, you know, get ready to see what they look like and what they're going to look like. It's so hard to kind of project a ton of different guys and how they could line up. So, yeah, Thursday can't get here soon enough.
Yeah, I just want to see someone do something that, like, makes it a headlining night. Like, I just don't want 1 through 10 to go the way that PFF has said it's been going for 6 months. Like, that's not interesting to me. My only point about the draft is, like, my personal interest, which is not a particularly interesting or smart way to go about it. But I just, like, I want to see the Vikings get suckered into J.J. McCarthy or, you know, whoever it is. I want to see something that they could make some news and people can clown people for, like, that. The chaos is what is fun about it. If it just goes 1 through 10 the way that everyone thinks it is, like, kind of a boring event, more boring than it normally is otherwise. So I just want to see something that makes being online and sitting in front of a TV on Friday nights interesting and worth it.
We need a gas mask again with somebody like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, Laremy Tunsil. We need a gas mask situation again.
Like, that, if the NFL promises us good product, then this will, like, time to put your money where your mouth is and, like, do something weird better happen. That's all I want to see.
I think I'll take plus odds on Caleb hugging his mom first and then not hugging Roger Goodell. I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe I'll parlay it and win some money. I honestly don't know if it's plus odds or not. I'm just putting it out there that that'll happen. I'll tell you, it's interesting on Odunze because I heard a guy out of Washington talking about Rome, and I wanted Odunze to date my daughter. That's how nice this guy sounded. He sounded like not only like the nicest dude off the field I've ever heard of, but also like much bigger, but plays like he's 5'11". I mean, obviously this guy had a heavy bias, but like, when I got done hearing, you know, this particular pundit out of Washington talk about Rome, I was pretty excited about him, if I'm being honest. And then in terms of, you know, Murphy, I just feel like, here's the thing, either offensive or defensive line at 9, if there's a guy that grades out like Darnell Wright graded out, and I don't know if there is, then I think Poles will take him. And then I think I will be glad that Ryan Poles took him, because Darnell Wright was a plug and play right freaking tackle and made an impact out of the gate. Just, you know, watching Murphy, dude, 6'1", 301. I watched a lot of Dexter last year. Like, Dexter looked good, and I think he will be good, but you could tell that he was not going to be a year one starter. Holy cow, this Murphy dude, he's a grown ass man. He is a big boy. And so I guess I mean, it seems like it would be a little bit of a reach to take him. I would be maybe disappointed about that. But if they traded back and still got him, I mean, I think that would not be a terrible pick, you know? And I still think, and it's not sexy, we need to build from the inside out, you know? And I think it is rising tide lifts all ships. And so if we are able to bolster our offensive line and we're able to bolster our defensive line, then we all know what that does for our wideouts and our running backs and our tight ends. We saw what happened when we didn't have a pass rush and our defensive backfield was atrocious. And then we got Sweat, and guess what happened? So I think, you know, I mean, people that maybe would get pissed about an interior line or, you know, like some sort of a, you know, interior lineman draft, I it's hard to remember those things on that day because you want the sexy pick and you want the flashy pick. But that's how we're going to win football games, guys. I know I sound like an old dude right now, but it is how we will win football games. Like, we need to have solid lines, both sides.
Byron Murphy, he doesn't stop moving.
No,
he has a motor that doesn't quit, and yeah, that definitely is that Fluce kind of guy. And he is that. I think he's a bit undersized, but he makes up for it with just like his movements again and getting, you know, creating pressure and never quitting on the play. So I'm not going to be mad about him by any means. I would love a wide receiver, but I understand the reasons that we talked about why, you know, may or may not make sense. I wasn't fully prepared for the question, Ryan. I apologize. I wanted to mention one more big thing that happened the last few days, and that was that interview that Caleb Williams did with Ryan Clark awesome. In the Pivot podcast. Have you guys watched that?
It changed a lot of people's opinions about him.
Yeah,
I think a lot of Bears fans' opinions about him. The ones that were kind of on the fence, I think have yeah, more fully embraced this. Like, this kid seems to check all the boxes, seems like he wants to be in Chicago, wants to play well. Like, I at least that's what I took from it. And so I think that's kind of what some other Bears fans were saying too.
It's not only that, this kid's a killer. Like, he not only wants to, he's saying all the nice things about, yes, it is about the team, it is about winning, but he also wants to be the best to get there. He wants to be that MVP. He wants to be the Super Bowl MVP. He wants to be the number one overall pick. He had a goal of winning that Heisman. And I think we get into this pattern where a ton of these leaders and guys, everybody will say, like, I don't care how we win as long as we win. I could throw five picks and it doesn't matter as long as we win. Caleb Williams is going to be like, no, I want to be able to be the reason we win because I know I'm that good. And I know I'm that the guy. Like, talking about him wanting to beat Spencer Rattler because he knew he was better than him, and talking about what he needed to do better and kind of accepting that, like, he's like, in my heart, I know I'm better, but I have to continue to prepare and wait for my chance. And once I get that, I'm not giving it back. Just the things like that, like, this dude's going to be a killer. He's going to be that Aaron Rodgers type where he's going to rip your heart out. And I am so here for it. Like, we finally need somebody like that. Okay. Quiet leader. And I'm not taking away, I don't want to like even name names for other quarterbacks, how they lead, how they, you know, show themselves, whatever. But somebody like Caleb Williams, that's what this team needs. And I'm so freaking excited for it.
I do feel like the two Caleb Williams incidents that have made people think that he has like a different personality than he does. It's so strange. Like, he has been a killer the entirety of his college career. Like, he is, like, sort of to Shay's point, he is not just a quarterback prospect. He is one of the best quarterback prospects of the decade. And like, people sort of didn't like his personality because he is kind of Gen Z. Like, so it doesn't surprise me here that like, once people get to know him a little bit more, it's immediately going to turn around again, because yeah, like, he after he paints his nails, he just talks normally, and it's just to the point again, when they start winning, it's also not going to matter. Like, it's a weird, those two incidents have sort of carried so much more weight than I thought that they would. Yeah. Ultimately.
Well, and he also, so he did, the nails was brought up and he just said, yeah, I like doing it. And that was that.
Right.
And then talked about, if you haven't listened to the interview, they talk about the incident with crying with his mom. And he essentially, like, long story short, he said, yeah, I was cool on the bench. I was upset, but I was cool. Like, I, you know, was just like, okay, it is what it is. He's like, I went over to just give my mom a hug like I do every game. And she, like, put her arm around me, like, you know, in a different way, just like, you know, comforting him. And he's just like, in that moment, I lost it because I just knew that was my last chance to win and have a chance at the playoff. And he's like, I didn't expect it. It just sort of happened. And, you know, it became this big thing. So you can kind of
throwing his mom under the bus like that. That's tough.
Mom, why'd you have to hug me?
It was her fault. Yeah. Like my mom was emotional and I made me cry.
Right.
Dudes can be emotional. Maybe that's a hot take, but like guys can be emotional. Like and it's okay. And they can still be leaders. They can still be good. I don't know why that's a thing, but it is. But all right. Things that I'm looking forward to, a little bit like Cam, like, you know, that like the kind of chaos. I'm really curious who's going to be the guy that falls, because there's always at least one guy that falls precipitously that nobody expects. Right. And so who's going to be that guy? Ron Winarski, I love your question. What if Marvin Harrison Jr. drops to 9? I don't think there's any way that happens. But if it does, I mean, I think it'd be really interesting. The Bears snatching him up. But yeah, there's going to be someone who's going to fall. And I want to know, who's it going to be? I don't know why that's a negative thing for me, but I'm not really sure. I'm also really I'm anxious to get the number 9 pick over with. What are the Bears going to do? What's going to happen? Because I want to know who it's going to be. There's so many possibilities. You know, we know it's going to be Caleb Williams, and who's going to be the aunt. And that's something that I'm really interested in. Boys, this has been a phenomenal episode. I missed your faces. I really wish that we could have had Patrick Sheldon and Logan Bradley with us tonight, but they were both busy. But it was really cool to talk to Shay Norling. So let's get out of here. Let's get to shout-outs. Shout-outs you might like to give for this. Let's go Cam, Brendan, Jack, and I will finish it up. Shout-outs, boys.
So this is like a little tongue-in-cheek, but not totally. So I'm going to shout out the Colorado Rockies for being the worst team in baseball, because tickets are like $10 and they make going to baseball games affordable. And Coors Field is very nice. And I feel like every baseball game now costs $55 to get in, and the Rockies don't. And they're $10 and it makes for a nice day. And they just lose by 7 runs, but who cares? So shout out to the Colorado Rockies. You're doing great.
Worst team in baseball? Jack, well, sorry, but I mean
they are.
Jack, take my spot. You need to talk about this. I'll go after Jack.
We're not gonna spend a whole lot of time talking about the White Sox because that would be like abusive to the audience. But the A's and the White Sox aren't baseball teams. So the Rockies are the worst baseball team.
Yeah, that's true. The other ones are just embezzling situations.
They are embezzling. You are absolutely right. It's a financial portfolio for Jerry Reinsdorf, and that's all it is.
Yeah,
tickets for $2 for the doubleheader on Thursday, I believe.
For the Sox game.
For the Sox game, yeah. Oh yeah, their lone All Star participant this year is going to be a milkshake. So that's going to be good. I can't take credit for that joke. Anyway, shout outs. I got a couple. There's a ton of guys, media personalities, writers, you name it, who are doing phenomenal draft work. One of those guys is Tommy Kavanaugh, Tommy K, NFL Draft. Gave me a shout out yesterday, but I want to shout out him because he was doing some work for OnTap Sports, did an awesome wide receiver ranking, just his personal ranking of like the top 20 wide receivers. So he's going pretty deep. I found it fascinating, you know, things I disagreed with, but things I also agreed with. But yeah, there's just really, really great draft individuals who are putting in the work, putting in the research, and they deserve some love. So Tommy's one of those guys, and shout out to him. Also shout out to Rob Schwartz Jr., somebody else putting in the work when it comes to writing about the Bears for Bear Goggles On. And then a special shout out to Duke Coughlin, that pod guy Duke, because he and his lady friend just welcomed a baby boy. So happy
dude,
for him.
Let's go. Congratulations.
Yeah, he's a big Bears fan, big Sox fan. So good to see. I think he just announced it today. So great for him. So shout out to those guys.
Shout out per usual to everybody that's in the comments and chats that's following us, everybody that's watching across all of the mediums. We're excited. We know you're excited about the draft too. So thanks for joining us. Shout out to the Irish Bears show. I will normally do a yearly marathon with them. Brendan, are you going to be on at all? Do you know? Are you going to be like,
I don't think so. I haven't been asked, but,
okay. No, that's fine. I was just curious. Yeah. I didn't know if I would see you on or not, but, so Friday night I'll be on with them. I want to say, at 6 Chicago time, I believe. So shout out to the Irish Bears show, you know, and then, you know, earlier I was half in jest talking about being a soccer dad, but man, I gave my boys plenty of shout outs. So shout out to my daughter, Peyton Wright, who's a junior on the varsity. soccer team at Sycamore High School. Go Spartans. She's a forward and does some assisting and some goal scoring. And that's all about, all the vocabulary I have for soccer. So I'm not going to really say much more on that, but shout out to my daughter, Peyton Catherine Wright.
Quick shout out from the show one more time to Beats by Blackie Chan and Frank Pador for making our intro and outro, just all of it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that. We're really excited about that. Matt Turner from the Roar of the Lions, he's the host of the Roar of the Lions, and we love those dudes. He's in town, and I was not able to make it happen, partially because I'm here, but also just like logistically, it just wasn't going to happen tonight. So, Matt, I hope you're enjoying Chicago, flying over from the UK, and sorry we couldn't get together tonight. I'm really, really, really sorry about that. This is crazy, boys. I'm going to say this online, but I bought a car, and, you know, dealing with car salesmen is like – it's awful. It's just, we went into, I don't know how many like dealerships we went to, like 10, 15 of them, and they were bad, bad, bad. I was laughing out loud as soon as I met Jay El-Khatib from Gerald Kia in Naperville, I think it is. He was funny. He was crazy knowledgeable. He made it so easy. And come to find out he's a Bears fan. And so we literally just started talking Bears. I was like, that's it. I want to buy a car from Jay because my guy Jay is a Bears fan. And so it just makes it even better. So if you're looking to buy a car, we bought a Kia. I didn't think I'd buy a Kia. Kia is freaking awesome. It's a hybrid and I'm excited about it. And like, sometimes I'm like, is the car on? Like, I can't tell. So didn't go fully electric yet, but we're getting there. So Jay, shout out to you, my dude. Thank you for being freaking phenomenal at your job and for being a Bears fan. We'll have to talk post-draft. For all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, we know you can get your Bears content anyway. Shay was talking about it. There's so many people that cover the NFL, and you know, we're hanging out and you're hanging out with us, and it means absolutely more than any of us can say. We are just so thrilled that you've chosen to hang out with the guys of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. So you can help us out. You can hit like, you can hit subscribe, you can share with a friend, do whatever you can, hit us with a 5-star review. Anything to spread the audience truly is appreciated by all of us. So for Cam Ellis, for Brennan Chagrou, Jack Wright, Patrick Sheldon, Logan Bradley, I am Ryan Dangle, folks. Thank you so very, very much. And as always, Bear Down, Chicago.